This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:40 on the evening edition with Hezril and Kelvin, and we're now looking at a story about how Mandarin classes are becoming more popular, especially among non-native speakers. So this comes from an article on Malaysia Kini. Apparently, these classes, which use Bahasa Malaysia as a teaching medium, have been gaining in size and popularity.
Yeah, so these students, usually adults, are taking these classes for a range of reasons, like being able to do more business, to reach out to more clients, or to just be more employable.
And it's also picking up traction among young Malay families in particular. According to the article, more young Malay parents are sending their kids to vernacular schools, and they're looking past the politics surrounding the language here and see it as a developmental tool.
And really, beyond the practicality of it all, there are some who are picking up the language as a means to build bridges with their fellow Malaysians. And I think this is great. You know, for a long time, when we look at what was available out there in terms of Mandarin classes, a lot of them were done through the English language. A lot of them really just focused on that. Right? And I think that left out a lot of people who wanted to pick it up, because I quite firmly believe that if you want to pick up an additional language, you kind of sort of, you have to learn it in the language that you're first most comfortable in. So if it's Bahasa, for example, then you should be working towards Bahasa and then to Mandarin, right? And that medium instruction should be that. Because otherwise, I think what's going to happen in your brain is that you're translating something from Malay to English and then English to Mandarin. It's a three-step process,
Not
necessarily the most efficient, because that's, I assume that because that's how I I'm not a Mandarin speaker, unfortunately. So I kind of have to do that translation from English to Mandarin before, and that process kind of slows down the amount of conversations I
was just about to say. Yeah, it does sound like a lot of effort, doesn't it?
Yeah, you have to code switch, your brain has to switch, you know, some of the ways you would structure an English, a sentence in English doesn't make sense in Mandarin. And also conversely in Bahasa, right? Mm. The same thing sort of applies there, because they're not your first language. It's not, for me, that's not, for a lot of people, that's not usually the most comfortable way to get around using or speaking a second or third language.
Yeah, and imagine, you know, with the kind of apps we have, I was just about to say that a lot of the apps we have, might be helpful and conducive for people to pick up new languages like Mandarin. Mm. But then the fact that you and also the article, right, Kel, mentioned that Bahasa, and that's an important sort of caveat, that Bahasa is the teaching medium, then I wonder how many apps are out there that actually use Bahasa to facilitate that process. And I think accessibility is a very important part of it. I must say, whenever I meet, I think in the past 2 years when I meet my cousins for Raya, particularly from Johor, which borders Singapore, a lot of my cousins and my mom's cousins have really started to pick up Mandarin. And there really is this association that, you know, somehow, somewhere, it's going to be useful to them down the line, regardless of whether they're in, accounting or whether they'll go into tech or medicine. Somehow, they're really convinced and really want to prepare for this. But in that process, though, I'm wondering if other languages, like Tamil, whether they would fall behind or other, languages from East Malaysia, for example, in this process, would this desire to learn languages for the sake of development lead to other languages falling behind? So that's a question I have. But, in the meantime, you can share us your thoughts. Have you picked up Mandarin classes? What's it been like, and why did you do it in the first place? You can let us know. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also, if you have any questions for our guest, Ebili, head of coordinator of Mandarin Jury, you can also send those through, because we'll be speaking to her right after this. So stay tuned here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9,
The Business Station.
6:47 on the evening edition with Hezrul and Kelvin, and we're talking about how Mandarin classes are becoming more popular and picking up traction among non-native speakers. And to get some insights, we're headed to Abby Lee on the lines, head of coordinator at Mandarinja, a platform that offers Mandarin courses. Abby, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much, Hezrul and Kelvin. And I'm truly grateful for this opportunity.
Lovely. Lovely to have you on. So let's start off with how much you've seen interest in Mandarin grow among locals.
Okay, Hezrul and Kelvin, again, thank you very much. I'm Abby Lao Shi. I'm from Penang. Okay, now, particularly, I can't really give a very good explanation since I, at this particular topic, as in the interest and how much it has grown among the locals. I'm not really a researcher or, you know, a person who does research on this particular topic. But according to my own experience, yes, I'm allowed to give that. So in this, your particular point just now, Hezrul, from what I've seen in my schooling period, like I started off in primary school in Penang, SRJKC Chongsan. So shout out to SRJKC Chongsan in Bayer Le Pas. What I noticed was, in my own particular experience, I saw when I moved on to SMJKC Chongling High School in secondary, around 2008 or 2007, when I head back to my, in Chinese we call it mother school, we go back to our primary school, I found out that there are more and more people that are sending, especially Malay local, they're sending their children to the Chinese school. Like when I was there last time, around when there's like 1,000 students, there's only 4 of us. But then when I went to the school again, I noticed that the numbers are increasing. And that how I know the numbers is by when I went to the canteen, when I see more and more, you know, mother that brought lunch for their children. I saw more more parents that wear hijab that went there. So I noticed that this trend is growing. So just to highlight that there's a growth in the pattern, and particularly people send their children to Chinese school. Yeah.
What do you think is driving this interest?
Okay, from my own perspective, again, okay, not a researcher, sorry for the hazard, but from my own perspective, from what I noticed, even for my own parents, that actually my mother is Malay and my father is a Chinese, so I'm a mixed blood. So what I noticed was I used to ask my father, like, why would you send me to Chinese school? It's like, at that particular time for me, it was so tough. It was like, why, right? So my dad said, we send you there with hope that you learn an extra language. And the parents believe that all the subjects, you know, all the particular exams and all, they're all the same since we have standardized SPM, PT3 and all. So they believe that when they send us to Chinese school, so they want us to learn extra language, you know. So something like that. I think the main drive is that the language. And although some people, they want the children, you know, to get some edge in, you know, Chinese community and all, but for me, I believe, is simply the main idea of sending your children to Chinese school is for the language.
Abby, I was just going to say, please don't apologize, because we do appreciate your personal insights. And I think, you know, speaking of personal, have you had to field questions over the years about why you're advocating, perhaps, you know, for more people to take up Mandarin?
Okay, particularly for me, I believe that it has been in my family, in my blood, in a sense that, as I mentioned before, my mom is Malay. My father is Chinese. So what happened was, before I went to primary school, I start off with, you know, all Malay in my family. We speak all Malay languages in conversation, in a daily conversation. But what happened was, when I went to Chinese school, I was a bit frightened, in the sense that, not a bit, a lot, frightened a lot, because I don't usually speak Mandarin in my house. So I went and I cried almost every day, which is very, you know, shameful. But that's like the past. But the thing was, my father started off by telling me that, you know, every day when he sent me to school, he he told me that, you know, we start a sentence a day. Don't rush it, you know. A sentence a day, I will be there in your, you know, weekly assembly to listen to the principal and all, so don't worry. So my father is the main drive that pushes me to, you know, advocate this. But the main idea was not really that. The main idea is the fact that when I started going to Chinese school in primary and secondary, I noticed that when I speak to my dad, I can't really speak Malay anymore. I'm comfortable with, you know, speaking Mandarin to him. So my mom doesn't really understand Mandarin. What happened was I have to consistently translate, direct translate, and, you know, live translate to her every time there's a small talk between me and my dad. So translation idea, you know, the feel of letting my mom understand and all that. So it gives me a sense of, you know, achievement. It's like, oh yeah, that's cool, you know, like, so that actually drives me the idea of, oh, okay, you know what, why don't, you know, let more people know Mandarin, it'll be more fun, you know, you understand to each other. So that's the as you mentioned just now, the main idea and the drive that advocates me to do this.
Abby, how did you go about developing a BM syllabus that would attract the interest of more Malaysians? You decided to do it in the Malay language as the medium of instruction.
Okay, thanks for the question. Okay, for this particular, my particular point of view, when I started off teaching, I noticed that when I try to find syllabus and textbooks in the market, like in what we have right now, especially like when I started off in my school as well, in secondary, primary, all the textbooks, they're mostly imported from China, and most of the syllabus. And then there are some who, you know, translated it and make it like a more English or British kind of syllabus. And there are, of course, there are, you know, Malaysian Chinese writers that actually make it a more watered down version for Malaysian Chinese to understand. But the thing is, it's for Malaysian Chinese. It's not for Malay. So from my point of view, I'm standing at my mother's point of view. I understand that my mom has some tough time to understand sometimes. So especially when I try to explain to her something that my dad was trying to tell me. What happened was I noticed that when I mentioned something to my mom that are more related to Malay culture, so she understand it instantly. Like for example, you know how, you know, Mandarin, when we say ni hao, as in how are you, right? But the particular word of ni is actually in third tone, and hao is in third tone, yes, okay. But the idea is when these two match, it becomes second tone and third tone. Instead of ni hao, it becomes ni hao. So this particular rule is not in the textbook, like it's there as we call it a general rule, where, you know, when people talk, it's pretty hard to talk with third tone and third tone again and again because it's very deep. So I told my student, like, you know tajwid, you know, in Quran, when we read, and then sometimes when the alphabet meet another alphabet, the reading become longer or shorter, or it become, you know, in Arabic term, we call it sukun, and all those Arabic tajwid terms. Mm, yeah. So when I mentioned that, they instantly understand. So I was like, yes, that's it. That's what I want. So I want my students to understand easier. So that's the main idea. Yeah. So for the syllabus, I actually compile from Chinese textbook, English textbooks, and I also add on culture and history so that, you know, it incites my students' interest in learning Mandarin.
And do you see more Malays and just non-native speakers in general picking up Mandarin? Mm. Do you see this as an effective way to bridge racial and cultural divides in our country?
I would say yes, because from my own experience and also from my students, from what they showed me, of course, I noticed that even some of my students, a student particularly, she was one of my students, a very bright one. I really, really like how, you know, how effective and how, I would say rajin, sorry, how hardworking she was. But, sorry. Okay. So the idea was, I saw how she actually managed to, you know, convince or talk to, you know, a Chinese uncle that passed by her stalls. And for my own experience, when I try to, you know, talk to people, and when I notice that, hey, you're Chinese, do you understand Mandarin? And then when he goes, yeah, and then I go and ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, and that's it. Like, we discuss more, and sometimes, I'm not trying to be racist or what, but, you know, I notice that when we talk in our own native language, we tend to give more information, because it's easy, it is there. Imagine if you're a Malay, and you know how like when you have a stall and then like another Malay come in, I want to buy it, you can tell more details easily. But when you try to tell it in another language, you kind of have this something that's a blocking factor for you to, you know, explain, because when some people they're shy, you know, they're shy of making mistakes. They say, never mind, let's not tell this, you know, like. So I believe that when my students, or even everyone, anyone that learns Mandarin, when they talk to another Chinese native speaker, sometimes it opens up more. Because I believe that when you learn a language, you actually learn the culture. Same goes to Malay language. You know, when you learn Malay, when I'm telling you a proverb, melepaskan batuk di tangga, it's not really, you know, the batuk that you cough. It's actually, you know, the batuk that you scoop up the water at the staircase. So it's something that, you know, you need to learn the language in order to understand. You need to learn the culture and history to understand the language. So that's like the key thing that I usually push to my students.
Abby, thanks so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you very much, Hazra and Kelvin, for this opportunity. I'm very, very grateful for this, although it's a bit last minute notice.
Pleasure to have you. Thanks so much. That was Abby Lee, Head of Coordinator at Mandarin Zhe, speaking to us about the uptick in demand for Mandarin classes, particularly via Bahasa Malaysia. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.